rage on the radio
so you can keep it off the road.
Tune in every day from 3 to 7 p.m.
right here on The Roar.
Walt Tiptula, Road Rage. You know, Ben Milstead asked me about this the other day. I will be doing it again. It's the pipeline poll. It's the MAP poll. And most accurate poll stands for most accurate poll. And I think we have a bigger group of people this year even. And they nicely just told me, Ramona, that I am their most trusted source.
Oh, that's nice.
So how about that? Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. Very kind to you, Jason, and thank you, and look forward to serving in this bowl again, taking the responsibility seriously. I want to talk about the AP poll and then my preseason rankings, and there are a couple things. I have the breakdown of the voters, although if they could have written this any friggin' smaller, is there a way to enlarge this? It doesn't look like there is. It's like you need a magnifying glass to be able to see this, but I do have the breakdown, and there's a curious thing to me that I want to get to, and we will. Let me get to Jimmy first, and then Robert, and coming up right now on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Jimmy, good to have you.
Okay, how you doing, brother?
Good, Jimmy. Appreciate you getting in.
Okay, I was talking to Mona. At what part do people don't believe that, what's his name, Ty, I believe it is, quarterback from Arizona? Anyway, look at his footwork, and you know these things, Walt. I guess a lot of other people don't think about his footwork, the way he sets up to throw the ball, where he delivers the ball at, how strong is his arm. I think he may end up even playing in the LSU game. If it goes downhill in a hurry, we will see. That's probably pretty sure. And
I'm sorry. I'm lost, Jimmy. Who are we talking about? Are you talking about Tate Reynolds?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you're talking about Arizona, and I'm like, Arizona.
It's the blonde-headed kid, and I thought he's from
okay,
Arizona.
Okay, yeah. You're talking about Tate Reynolds. Well, you said Ty, and I'm thinking, yeah. I just didn't know where you were going, but yeah, okay, Reynolds.
Well, anyway, we've seen how he plays.
Well, we haven't. He's not played a single snap.
I've run at high school. He's at, I bet you, 100 different times.
Yeah, he has talent, but the dilemma is he's played less than Christopher Vezina. I mean, he has no experience whatsoever. And they say he picks up things quickly, but he missed his last year in high school.
Yeah, but there's such a thing like Trevor's just talent. It's just,
yeah, I don't think he's Trevor. I don't think he's Trevor, and I don't think he's Deshaun. I think we need to be careful about that. I think he's somewhere in between. I don't think he's that level of player. I think he's a good player. I think I've said all along, he's the most talented quarterback on the roster. That I agree with. But again, one of my concerns is one of the long held beliefs in the National Football League are just games played at quarterback in college, just being on the field. It's an old Parcell adage, and it's proven very true. Well, I mean, I think it applies to every level. And, you know, and the dilemma, if you will, for Clemson's quarterbacks is that combined they've played one game.
Well, what I was thinking about was this. He let ukulele stay in there way too long. And then he made the same mistake Cabe wasn't an outstanding quarterback. My first year there, he did good. But he wasn't what I'd call outstanding. And Dabo just hung in there. I think Dabo's come to the thing is, I'm not doing that again. I'm changing coaches. I'm going to give it all I got because I don't think Dabo ever lived, but I think maybe sometimes he think he could, that maybe they would do something to him. But he's going to put the best one out there no matter what he thinks about it. And that's what's going to happen.
He's going to put the guy – they're going to put the guy out there they think gives them the best chance to win. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the most talented one.
Well, you think Zena, I never pronounced his name right, but I watched that FMU game a few times. I just don't think that's the guy. I mean, that's wrong with him. It's just that we always want a new quarterback because the one that's there is not that good. But the footwork,
he threw for 300-something yards and three scores and had another one dropped. You know, I don't know what you expect from a first-time starter against a good team in SMU, and SMU is a good team.
Well,
now, I know their secondary wasn't great, but they did have a pass rush, and he stood in tall. I mean, he's 6'4 and 235. He stood in tall and delivered the ball. Well, I think
hoping you're right.
I think he did some good things. Look, Jimmy, I don't necessarily disagree with your point, okay? Let me put it this way, okay? This is something I have not said on the show as yet. This is my first time saying this. But if you have a situation where your younger player is equal to your older player, the younger player is the guy who gets the job. It is not the opposite of that. So if Tate Reynolds is really even with Christopher Vezina, then Tate Reynolds should be the starter. Hey, Jimmy, good talking to you. Thank you. That's just an obvious thing. People get that backwards all the time. They think, well, then you play the more experienced. No, you don't. If the more talented younger guy is equal to the more experienced older guy, the younger guy gets the job because he is your present and your future. He's the guy with the upside. So my assumption is that Vezina is just ahead. He's ahead from a knowledge standpoint, from a system standpoint. Again, Chad Morris has new eyes. You're not running the same offense you were a year ago. There wasn't really there's not an incumbent. So that's the other part of it. But if these two guys were truly even, then Tate Reynolds should be playing, not Vezina. Robert in Georgia. Robert, how are you, Robert? Good to have you.
Well, I'm great, man. Thanks for getting me in.
Absolutely.
Before I get to why I called, I think it just needs to be said again and again and again for some Clemson fans. Clemson may never get another Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Never. Has there been another Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence in college football since Deshaun Watson, freshman, and Trevor Lawrence, freshman? Not many.
Well,
so, I mean, they're just not going to get two quarterbacks.
There was one at LSU. Maybe two. One with the Bengals.
True freshmen coming in and leading the team the way Deshaun and Trevor did.
Oh, well, I didn't know you were talking true freshmen. You didn't say that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Whenever I refer to it, there's not going to be another Trevor or Deshaun. I mean, being able to come in straight out of high school and lead a college team to some sort of success, even, you know, playoff and or national championship success. It just doesn't happen. And Clemson's had two quarterbacks like that. There's colleges that have never had a freshman quarterback that could come in and do that. So I just don't think there's ever going to be another Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson for Clemson.
There may not be. I mean, those guys are historically unique. I mean, so there may not be. There's a lot more competition now, too. You know, the playing field is evened out all over the country. You know, the Indianas and Texas Techs. And again, some of that might change with government intervention. We don't know. But but I do think, you know, a texter said, and I don't know what he's saying, that's not what Dabo does. There has to be a knockout by the younger guy. No, it is. That's how it's done everywhere. It's always how it's done. If it's even, the younger guy is getting the job. Trust me. And it's true here.
Yeah.
When it became even, the younger guy got the job. Now, they may not have viewed it that way at first. I mean, for a while, they told us Cole Stout gave us the best chance to win. And I was saying on air saying, Deshaun Watson will be starting by game four. I said, I don't believe Cole Stout
stuff. Yeah, people have to understand what the definition of even means in football.
Right.
Talk. I mean, because they don't always see what the coaches see. And I think that's what you're referencing. You know, when they're seeing two quarterbacks in practice, one young and one old, and they're both doing exactly the same thing, and they're both giving them, you know, a good chance to win, yeah, you go with the younger quarterback.
Exactly, because, again, he's the guy who's going to be with you. He's the future. He's the present. You know, if he's already if he's already even, then in three games he'll have passed him. So that's the decision you make. If it's truly even, you always go with the younger guy.
Yeah. Now, regarding Christopher Vezina, well, the only positive outlook that I have for Clemson's offense this year is that at least Vezina is going to be able to run Clemson's offense under someone more suited to call plays with his talent, and that's Chad Morris. I would not be very hopeful at all if Garrett Riley was still calling the plays and Vezina was coming in. But I think Chad Morris, if he's is at least as good as he used to be, he's going to be better for Vezina. He's just a better play caller for Vezina's talents. Don't you kind of agree? I mean, Garrett Riley, I don't know what he was doing.
I agree with that. And I also think that you're going to get some quarterback run game by intent. And I think that Christopher Vezina's got a big enough body to deliver that. He's not, again, is he occasionally going to get the edge in a read situation? Yeah, maybe. There may be some times that he goes off on a 25-yard jaunt. He's probably not going to run, you know, 50 yards for a score or anything. He's not the athlete that a Trevor was or Deshaun was in that regard. But I do think he is going to give you some of the DJ Uiagalelei style rushing yards, and I think that's important. You know, again, people forget, DJ Uiagalelei averaged 4 yards a rush. Cade Klubnik averaged one.
Yeah, what his, I always said he had a Eurostep style running.
Right.
Style.
Right.
He looked like a basketball player taking Eurostep.
But again, he was a big body, and most of his rushes were A-gap rushes, and Christopher Vezina can give you that. That's something this team did not have the last few years under Cade Klubnik. There was none of that. And the quarterback run game is a part of the Clemson offense. And it was just invisible. And again, these close games, that's how they're determined. They're determined by those tough yards that you either get or you don't get. And Clemson didn't get any of those yards from the quarterback position and not enough from the running game. So I think that when you look at moving forward into this season, I think that's one of the other elements that Chad Morris is going to bring. You will see Christopher Vezina run the football. Again, he's not going to rush for 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards like Deshaun Watson. What Clemson needs him to do is rush for 400 yards.
Right. That's exactly right. And I mean, a lot of people sit there and say, well, you know, and I think a lot of Clemson fans believe that Tate Reynolds should be the starter and Vezina should, you know, be the backup.
But there's nothing to base that on.
That's exactly right. And I mean, you talked earlier with the previous caller about the SMU game, and yeah, SMU had no film, and he was new to everybody and all that, but the intangibles that you saw, him stand in the pocket, keep his eyes down the field, finding the receiver with pressure bearing down on him. Kate never did that.
No.
Never.
He would have bailed. In that game, he would have bailed.
That's exactly right.
And so, you know, I think, and again, maybe he is a well-hidden Ty Simpson type. We'll see. He's a different quarterback and a different body type. But my point being that, you know, a guy who's just didn't play and sort of out of sight, out of mind, and you wondered about him, and then he shows up and he plays well like Ty Simpson did last year. So we'll see about it. I mean,
good play calling, I think he can lead Clemson to success this year.
Let's be honest. The Clemson LSU game is virtually a complete mystery. They're just way more unknowns than knowns on both sides. And that's been my point all along. That's why I like the points all along. And I still do. Robert, yeah. I got to run. Good talking to you as always. We'll be back in a minute. Lines of Jam, I'm coming to you. Don't move.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street, right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Canty. Water in the crawl space can sit there for months or years. Standing water in the home can damage the foundation. Rot wooden beams and joists cause mold and mildew. Contribute to unhealthy air inside.
I agree or disagree, but we get. So why trust Vezina when last year the coaching staff didn't? Can you answer that? And I have an NFL question.
I think that what you hope is that Clemson just had some loyalty to the starting quarterback who was experienced and who the year before had his best year. And I think, and maybe they recognized that there were other things wrong in the system too. I can't answer it though, Rudy. It's a fair question. It's a fair question to wonder, with Cade Klubnik having a really difficult year last season, why didn't Christopher Vezina play more? And it seemed like there was like no shot. Like I remember the question being asked of Garrett Riley, and Garrett Riley just shot it down immediately. Like, no, we're not doing that. You know, that kind of thing. I don't remember the specific language, but yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. It's a fair question to ask.
I mean, I just don't understand why as much as we pay these people, why they're not held accountable.
Well, again, I don't know that there was necessarily an answer. We're going to find out. We're going to see how Christopher Vezina plays. And then, listen, there's going to be all sorts of Christopher Vezina conversation after game one. Good, bad, and different. That's what the predominant conversation is going to be the week after Clemson LSU. However that turns out. That's what people are going to be talking about. They're either going to be talking about he should have played more last year. Why didn't he play more last year? He was great. He was terrific. You know, he's the guy, or the exact opposite, or he stinks. That he shouldn't be the quarterback anymore. That we need to go to Tate Reynolds. That he wasn't good. So, you know, we're not going to know the answer to this, Rudy, until that game is played. Even then, we're really not going to know the whole answer, but we'll have more information to go on.
Oh, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And please answer this before you let me go.
Okay.
Why in the HELL did Atlanta take Tua?
Because he was a bargain basement price. You know, the Falcons had an injury situation with Penix, and they needed a veteran quarterback, and they didn't have the money to go out and spend $100 million on one. So they found okay. One who was a previous starter at a bargain basement discount price, and that's what they got. They figured basically no harm, no foul. But I fundamentally agree with you. I think Tua sucks, and I don't think he's...
Yeah, me too.
You got to get Penix well and hope that he's ready and hope that he stays healthy. Right. But
hey, well, let me say this before I let you go. Seminole Ted, take him back, please.
Thank you, Rudy. No one wants Tua, Ramona. And the other day, out in the practice field...
He's the one with all the concussions, yes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And the other day on the practice field, he's doing some weird little dance thing, like for no reason.
Yeah.
Remember when Remember when Jameis Winston tried to eat that W, and all of his teammates were looking at him like, what is wrong with you? All of Tua's teammates in Atlanta were looking at him like,
oh no,
like, dude, what is wrong with you? Just stop. Worry about throwing a friggin' spiral.
Oh no.
You know, not a wounded duck. Oh, that just went final. Braves lost to the
Twins. Is that bad?
To the Twins. Is that, yeah, that's
not good.
That's not good. That's not good. Tariel, Chad, how are you, Chad? Good to have you.
I don't know why I'm calling. I have no business calling about
football season. You know,
the apathy is like this John Bunning, but like way worse, because he's sending like a drunken sailor with a $10 million a year head coach. Life is not good in that area.
Chad, it really is. From the outside, it's just such a comical situation. The cast of characters that North Carolina has assembled, you got a washed Bill Belichick and his 20-something concubine. You have a road tar face Bobby Petrino in his motorcycle, and you have a GM who gets dismissed because suspended because of alleged sexual harassment, and then on top of all that, his son has some issues that aren't related to any of this.
Well, it's 1-11, and I will tell you, there's only one win on the schedule. It's either UConn or East Tennessee State, and I still would take the points with both of those.
Yeah.
The people that cover UNC that are on the beat, just like the people at Clemson, I listened to some of their stuff, and they're like, at a minimum, he's got to win 6 games.
There's
well,
no
if
way.
That's the case, you might as well go.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to do – there's no – way on God's green earth they're winning 6 games.
No.
I don't care if they had Uzi.
Right.
They're not winning six games.
Right. And here's the thing. When's the last time Bobby Petrino mattered in college football? When's the last time? It's been years since he mattered. You know, so it's not like look, there was a time where Bobby Petrino was a witch offensively, but that time is way past. I mean, it's so far in the rearview mirror that he couldn't reach it on his motorcycle. There's no, it's a ridiculous cast of characters expected to win football games with Billy Edwards at quarterback. Yeah. Okay.
Petrino, UNC will be, you mark my word, today at 4:36, whatever it is, Bill Belichick will not make it through the year.
I don't think he will either.
I think they'll just get rid of him.
Bobby Petrino is going to show up with a light blue neck brace about game 4 or 5. Yeah. And Petrino is going to be the, I'm being dead. There's no way, because I'm telling you, like, the money stuff is tough, and it's just a bad thing. And the Lombardi thing is, my understanding, it's way worse than we know.
Wow.
And the arrogance around all of that. So I.
Well, remember that woman who worked in the office said that she had written him over a year ago, telling him that this stuff was going on with him.
I mean, he's just, the whole thing, it's just embarrassing. So that's one reason you hadn't heard a whole lot from him. I'm about to find a new avenue. I do play a lot of golf, so that helps.
You know, and this
football
stuff, like, about
really
how, you know, like these percentages, like North Carolina's an 85% win chance at UConn. How on earth Right, how on earth is that? More like an 85% chance they lose that game. I mean,
Syracuse, too, dude.
Oh, they're not beating Syracuse. They have Steven Angeli, and you have Billy Edwards. I mean, there's no, that's not happening. I mean, and again, I'm not sure about East Tennessee State. I think the absolute max number of games North Carolina could win would be 3, but I think that would take a miracle.
You know, I'm not opposed to redheads. My first girlfriend ever back in the day was redhead. But Billy, all redheaded quarterbacks, Andy Dalton, Billy Edwards, Jason, what's his name that does TV now?
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
Went to Princeton.
Yeah, Princeton.
All the redheads.
Yeah.
And they're trying to sell this Billy Edwards. Like, oh, he threw it for 2,600 yards at Maryland and 15 touchdowns. I said, dude.
He sucks.
I mean, he's gonna get killed. Yeah, who the hell's going to block for?
Yeah, he's no good. He's the worst quarterback in the league. And, you know, I would have to think about this, Chad. But if I think about all of the red-handed quarterbacks in the history of football, only one of them was great that I can remember.
Oh, Sonny Jurgensen.
Sonny Jurgensen.
Yeah.
By the way, Chad, that's an excellent.
Yeah.
That's an excellent job getting that answer.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember. He was a piece of work too, by the way.
Yep. He was one of the great fat quarterbacks.
1-11, and the Wolfpack game the last year, I heard them talking about they have to win the NC State game. Wait a minute.
Yeah, there's no way.
They can't beat him anyway.
Right, NC State and Doran owns them, so you can forget that. There are just no wins there. There aren't any wins there. The schedule's going to beat them down. And again, you get this sideshow, this circus sideshow behind the scenes. I mean, it's really one of the most unbelievable collection of losers and misfits ever assembled in the history of college football.
I don't know what's going on with his son, but that doesn't sound great either. But that's not a
right.
I understand.
A legal thing.
But still, that doesn't
help.
That's just part of. Yeah, it doesn't help.
Right.
So, we can't talk a lot of football this year, but maybe I'll, you know, jump on somebody's.
All the rest of them are dying off. The only one's going to be left is the concubine.
See ya.
See ya, Chad. She's going to name herself Coach Ramona. She's going to be coaching the team by midseason.
Yeah.
She's going to be out there in her light blue mini skirt and her blue duster.
Yeah.
Coaching the team. We'll be back.
The countdown is on.
Is on.
17 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
They're going to go eye set in a big, heavy package. Look, Klubnik will check up under center. Turn, hand it off.
Just basically the voice. The voice. Maybe the greatest voice of all time. At least right there with Roy Orbison. Clark, good to have you, Clark.
Good evening.
Hey, Clark.
Well, once again, it's football season.
It is, Clark. You don't sound all that excited, yeah. Clark.
Well, I was trying to figure out. I got a couple things I want to talk about. I was trying to figure out if Billy Edwards, trying to figure out if his girlfriend plays volleyball.
I don't know the answer to that.
Because, you know, Petrino, he loves the cheerleaders and the volleyball
I got you. Oh, look, I could see all sorts of things there. I mean, I just said to Ben Milstead off air, I said, biggest collection of losers and misfits to ever run a college football organization. I mean, it's almost like hard to believe. You got like 80-year-old Bill Belichick. You got the 26-year-old ex-sex worker. You got the ex-sex shop family worker. You've got the GM Lombardi who's out for sexual harassment claims. You got the son who's out for some other reason. I mean, it's like hard to believe. And then they're going to win football games when they also suck.
You know,
and Billy Edwards is their quarterback. Oh my goodness!
You know, I read an article about her and Belichick. You know, he paid off. It was like in the millions of her off of her debt.
And yeah, well, that's generally how that works, Clark. That's generally how the alleged 20-something-year-old winds up with the 70-something-year-old money.
A little high maintenance.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Walt. I got in trouble at work today with my supervisor. It had to do with football. So I put in for some overtime this weekend, and he's a big Gamecock fan, and so is his supervisor. So we're all in the break room. They come in there with the new shirts and the new hats on, and they're going to win the SEC, and they're making the playoffs this year. And I told him, I said, you know, because they always giving me heck about Clemson's quarterback and everything.
Yeah.
So I told them, I said, look, I said, you guys are always, every year, you go out and buy a brand new attire, new hats, new koozies, new pencils, and little banners to hang on the office. I said, but in the end of the year, the local dollar stub, the local Goodwill, I can always find a Gamecock shirt when I'm in there shopping around.
So by the end of the year, they're discounted, huh, Clark?
Yeah. Well, some of them's in the oil rags. They use the huge oil rags in the shops, I guess. But later on today, I got a notice on my email said they didn't need me to work this week.
That's funny.
I said, oh boy, wow. That rock said, I appreciate it. Thanks. You know, so but I can't wait.
That's yeah, hysterical. It's funny.
There are Clemson haters for sure.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Good talking
to you,
Clark.
Well, I noticed.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Walt. Dedrick Pennington, is he moving to the defensive side?
He is. There could be multiple reasons for that. I did not hear the explanation, but. I actually meant to read David Hood's piece. I think he has a piece on it, but I haven't seen it as yet. My guess would be that it's just it's a necessity. You need more depth at defensive tackle at the moment. So maybe things are just not working out on the offensive line. That's generally not the direction you move. You generally move the other direction, but we'll see how it works out.
Hey, it was good talking to you. See you guys.
Thank you, Clark. Okay. I want to talk about the AP poll. I want to compare it to my rankings. But before I do that, before I get into the specifics of that, I have the individual voters who voted in the first AP preseason poll. I'm not so concerned with who they voted for because, like, as I look down this list, again, this is all in such miniature. I don't see many outlandish things. I see a few people voted Indiana number one. That's not outlandish. I see a few people voted Notre Dame number one. That's not outlandish with their schedule. I'm very surprised at this. Only one person that I can see on here voted Miami number one. I'm very surprised at that. I'm surprised no one else would vote. Miami was in the game a year ago. They added Mensa. They lost a few pieces, but I'm still surprised no one, just one person, voted Miami number one. But that's actually not my biggest surprise. Again, as I tried to look through all these tiny, tiny things, like in the top 10, there were a few people who put LSU 10, that type of thing. But I don't see any sort of massive surprises in the top 10. I think there was one person. Yeah, there's one person. It's actually Brett McMurphy, I think, if that's on his line. I believe it is. Who picked Washington 10th. Now, I have ranked Washington. I have them like 19th, I think. But he actually had Washington 10. That's probably the most unusual pick in the top 10. Brigham Young got a few picks in the top 10. I can see that. I think I see one Southern California. Again, this list is just tiny, tiny, tiny. But this is the part that I find strange. Starting at the top of this list, these are not in alphabetical order, so I don't know how they're arranged. But I'm just going to read you the number one selections, okay? I'm just going to go right down this list. Ohio State, 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 Oregon, Ohio State, Oregon, Ohio State, 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 before I get to the next Oregon. I'm sorry. Ohio State's like a mortal lock guaranteed to be the number one team in the country? I mean, that's like nearly unanimous on the whole top half of this list. If I drew a line, center point on this list, that whole top section, except for two Oregon picks, it was all Ohio State. Every single one of them. The part that's puzzling to me is they play at Texas. I mean, they have some little sister of the poor, but it's the second game. They play at Texas. I believe that game right now is a push, but I will not be surprised if Texas is favored by the time that game goes off. But every single person's picking Ohio State. In order to do that, to my way of thinking, you are saying Ohio State's beating Texas. Now, maybe they will, but what makes you think so with that degree of certainty? They're going to go down to Austin and win. They barely won at Ohio State last year. Now, these teams are going to be considerably different. They're both going to be much more prolific offensively than they were. By the way, I want to talk about the best defense in the country, too. But I don't understand that absolute certainty about Ohio State. And I do think their offense is going to be incredible, but I think their defense is going to have some questions. Now, maybe it's not going to matter. Maybe their offense is just going to be that good. But Texas's offense is going to be very similar. Is Ohio State winning at Texas? Because to me, that's like the first question you have to answer. If every AP voter is taking Ohio State, I don't think they are. I think Texas is winning that game. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be like 24-21 Texas. But I think Texas is going to win that game. Texas was inside the 10-yard line twice at Ohio State last year and botched them in a game that really had no offense and really didn't have much rhythm at all. The first starts of, I mean, I know Manning started a couple against nobodies, but basically the first real starts of Arch Manning and Julian Sand. And neither guy was particularly ready for the task. And it was a defensive, ugly defensive battle. This year's game, I think, same two teams going to look quite different. It'll be much more, a lot more offense than there was a year ago. Without question, there'll be way more offense. These are going to be two of the most dynamic offenses in the country. Maybe it's even higher scoring than that, than I suggested. But I don't understand how, like, the whole world is ignoring the fact that Ohio State basically opens their season. Again, they play some little sister of the poor first. That they basically open their season by playing at Texas. And, oh, by the way, I don't see any Texas picks. I'm sorry. No one? Is this right? Nobody that I can see. I don't see a single Texas vote for number one. I find that really strange. Since that game, home field means so much in college football, that game is in Austin, and you're telling me that every single person thinks Ohio State is beating Texas in Austin? Every single one? I don't. I think they're losing. We have lots to get to. We'll talk about it on the other side.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAA.